darkest corners of the podcast dungeon, you have come across another goddamn horror podcast with Graham Fay, Jonas Barnes, and Ryan Danley.
Hey, welcome to another goddamn horror podcast. I'm here with Ryan and Jonas as usual, but we're getting right into it here with Eric and Carson Bloomquist. How are you guys doing? Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having us. We're doing good.
Tired, and happy.
I bet. Well, I've been a big fan of your guys' for a while now, actually. The first time I saw one of your movies, I tried to get in touch with you, and it kind of fell apart. But then I met you at the Fangoria signing, and you guys were rad, and I was like, I have to make this happen. So thank you again for finally doing this. But we're here mostly to talk about what you were there to promote is Founders Day, which we got the privilege to see and fucking love.
Yeah, dude, it's rad.
It's so good. Like, exactly what I wanted to be watching while I was watching it.
Oh, excellent. Thank you. Sorry for that motorcycle sound. That's good.
Dude, we're in New York. You're going to hear sirens and shit.
You're going to hear cats.
Yeah.
I'm in Portland, Oregon, so you might hear, like, windows being broken out and stuff being robbed. So, you know what I mean? Like, it's, you know.
Yeah.
No, I know someone who can fix that.
Yeah, exactly.
True. That is true. By the way, that mask, I have to say, that mask rules. Like, I love masks, and that one, like, it was kind of a lot of times when you get a slasher that has a mask, like, that can actually be like a make or break to me. Because sometimes if the mask is trash, it's just like, now I'm not even scared of you. You look like an asshole. But like this one, like you guys actually pulled off.
We had a lot of those same conversations, and it's very tricky. And I think it's getting trickier with, you know,
time
and the, you know, the more movies there are, the harder it is to kind of like stick out without looking like you're trying to stick out. So we're very happy with where it landed. I think all the elements go together nicely, and they gave us the option. They said, do you want it white or red? And we were like, red sounds.
and they were of that mind too. Yeah. It made it all lock in. We like it a lot.
Yeah. It go ahead.
So how do you come about you know, like in the age of the modern slasher, you know, like the post Scream slasher, like the formula is great because, you know, what's not talked about a lot is that it is a murder mystery generally. Like, you know, like the early slashers were never a murder mystery. You know what I mean? Like, you know, Founders Day and the recent ones, there's, you know, more of that. Like, how do you piece that together? Do you go in being like, this is what we want? Do we want to come off this chain, or how does that work? How does that look?
I think that's the biggest similarity to Scream. I think some people, may think we're trying to, you know, use Scream as more of a template than we are, whereas really we just like the form of murder mystery and the mischief of it all and the way it makes us feel. We love that movie, and you know, but it's the characters in Founders Day don't know they're in a horror movie, and we wouldn't want to do that because that's sure. Scream's thing. But I think in terms of the mystery, which obviously culminates in a twist or twists. I think that's a discussion just like it is with the mask, which is like, how do you do something unique without looking like you're just like completely without it feeling connected to the rest of it, like just shock value for the sake of shock value. So we built backwards.
Yep.
We knew where we were.
Cool.
Every interaction kind of was colored by
where we knew we were going. Yeah.
I really like the idea of like building it backwards because it is interesting to be like we're like rather than like, oh, I got a cool story idea. It's like, okay, we have to write something that's not like, it's like jazz. Like I can't, these are the notes we're not playing in this one. You know what I mean? It's like, it's a whole different vibe.
I think knowing our, I think we typically work like this, but especially important here, like knowing our landing point is important. So then you can, you know, you can make a fun flight pattern, but you need to kind of know where you're going to land. And we were of the mind that like the, what did I say before? It's like in terms of multiple twists, it's like a corkscrew,
a Russian nesting doll,
a Russian nesting doll.
Corkscrew. I like that. Yeah.
Where we just, we're pulling back and turning. And for me, I mean, we talk to different people. Some people don't guess anything, which we love. Some people guess one piece, or some people guess one thing, but it's in the wrong order. And, but I mean, for us, that's kind of the fun of it. And that, that you're playing along, and some things you'll get, but you won't know the why, or you might know the why, but you don't know the who. And like, that's, yeah. I think ultimately the puzzle is,
yeah,
I don't know who's going to guess the whole puzzle.
And I think that's our curiosity and excitement about this, is it makes you lean in and ask those questions and engage in a different way than another sort of subgenre might. It's at least why we feel so aligned with it.
And the playing along.
The playing along, the murder mystery, the where is this going to go and how is it going to unfold? That's something we've always loved.
Yeah, like people ask us about like the inspirations, and like Scream's certainly on the list, but like Carson and I were talking and we realized, you know, like, what'd you say? You said Clue, right?
It's like kind of like, yeah, Clue in some way.
Yeah, Clue's a favorite. Easy.
I wanted to mention this since we were on the subject of it, without getting into spoilers, because we're not going to spoil anything because the movie just came out, which everybody should see it. But you guys did stick the landing. Like, I just want to say that as a person who is like, my brain is unfortunately fucked up in the sense that when I'm watching a movie, whether I want to or not, I'm thinking about the ending. I'm thinking about that twist, and it's especially a thing with slashers, and I don't even try to. And then half the time my brain just comes to a conclusion 20 minutes into the movie. I'm like, God damn it. That's probably the ending. And then it is. And I'm like, God, it bothers me. So like what you guys did is you guys formulated a movie and a script and did it in a way to where when the ending came along, it made sense. And also it was kind of like, oh shit, you got me. Like, so it's you guys did a very good job with that.
Thank you
very much.
And I want to say, as far as like the Scream comparisons and homages and stuff, like it felt like literally the first thing I wrote to these guys, I think, in our chat was, it's screamy fun. Like but it wasn't so much the mechanics, it was the feeling of Scream. It was sort of like that food, that like comfort food of Scream feeling, not like Scream,
which is just kind of our brand in a lot of ways.
And I mean, we remember seeing that for the first time. We picked it up from the library on like some cold winter, I think it was like a Sunday, and we know what it felt like sitting on the couch watching that and how it made us feel and that kind of thing. It just, you know, we want it to permeate in what we are doing, and we hope it can kind of give someone else that feeling.
Absolutely. That's exactly what I got from
it. I don't think it's very like Scream, actually. I just think it's definitely in the post Scream era. You know what I mean? Like, it's like but that's a good thing. You know what I mean? Like I think universally there are probably people who don't like Scream, but like, I think universally people like Scream, you know? I mean, I think, and it's also like revered as, I mean, it's clearly a turning point. You know what I mean? Like we're clearly like looking at a style of movie that was like sort of cooked up with that movie. And no, it's just that the post Scream slasher, like this is such an excellent entry into it, because the murder mystery part is like such a fantastic part of it. And it keeps you engaged, and it just keeps that tension pulled back the entire time. Like, where are we going with this? Like, what's happening? Like, you know what I mean? And like, is it this person? Is that person? And like, looking for clues. It's such a great way to get like investment into your film. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you know, and everything's great in this movie, from the kills to the mask to the entire vibe of the film. And the lead, she did such a great job. And
Natalie Grace.
Like, very believable and likable. And then you got amazing performances out of everybody, so that really shows.
And thank you. I think the cast really bought in, because I mean, there are different types in this movie, right? Like, you have Naomi, you have William Russ, and they're kind of and Naomi's dad, Andrew Stewart Jones, so I think is in a lot of ways like an unsung hero of this movie, because he's so like grounded and real.
Such a prowess about
yeah. But then you have these blowhards that are populating this world too, and I think it's the we say, like, you know, when you have these blowhards and you have these more grounded characters, that the intersection of that is where a lot of the conflict and comedy comes from, and that's
sure.
what we wanted to play with. And there was a lot of buy-in with that.
Yeah. And we knew we wanted it to be a really full ensemble piece, and it was really cool for us too, because there were days when we were filming and we'd see people that weren't called that day on set watching the others perform too, because they were getting something out of seeing the other yeah. guys doing their thing,
which doesn't always amazing. Happen.
Yeah. That's yeah. amazing, really. I mean, like,
that says a lot.
Yeah, that says a lot. Craft services, I'm sure, love that. But it's
they bring stuff. Rusty would bring like energy shots. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He'd just be like, hey guys, and he just like
so good.
I wanted to mention this because it comes from a generation, like, I'm 42 years old, so I'm from a generation that grew up on like the Friday night like TGIF TV. So when I saw William Russ, I was like, oh shit. I was like, it's him. Like, you know, it's the dad. And so then when I saw him in the movie, I was just like, oh, this is cool, because, like, I think, you know, obviously there's a lot of people from that generation, especially in this era of slashers that are coming out, that are going to recognize his face. But how did he come about as far as the cast member goes? Because he was great. He did a great job.
Yeah, we knew he needed to be a certain type. This Jackson character, he's been there for decades. So we wanted this sort of familiarity, and we always admired what he brought to that show in Boy Meets World. It came to me one day and I threw it over to Eric, and very quickly he was like, okay, we gotta try to figure this one out, because it felt like it clicked. And we talked to Rusty on a phone call, on a Zoom call. And
he had loved our previous stuff and loved what we were trying to do. And we just,
yeah. Yeah. And, you know, his hair was a little longer here, and he just had this like lived in beautiful kind of energy that felt so right for this.
Like the kind of guy, like, you know him even if you don't know him. And it's right, yeah,
that's totally. Yo, that's what I was gonna say. Like, seeing him brought like a sense of community to the whole movie, like the whole town. Yeah. Right away. Just his presence.
Feel about him naturally the way the town feels about him. And you know, the other interesting things about his casting too, it's like, you know, we're this movie's in a little bit like a there's echoes of the 90s in it, in terms of being a warm blanket. And so having him, which is very connected to whatever the 90s are in our minds and souls, is there. And, you know, even pieces of this is like, I'd say, like, in terms of inspiration, like we said, Clue, Scream, but like 10% of this is like, you want it to feel like the scary episode or the Halloween episode of a 90s show. Right. Like, I mean, mm-hmm. there's piece of it. It's like, this is the one where things go bad, a little bad, and it's a little scary. And like, because we grew up on that too, and we love that. We love that feeling.
Yeah, it's really, you know, I think even with your other films, as it comes to the way you grab that vibe, y'all grab that vibe very well. You know, you grab that like proper horror vibe, and like it's not something you can describe, but you know it when you see it, that it feels like you're in a horror movie, and it's a very comforting place for the VCR blockbuster crap, you know what I mean? Like, I'm watching like a horror film.
That's the vibe, because we, like, you know, we're not looking to be redundant with things that have happened in the past, and we're not looking to like just copy anything, but we're not running away from influences, and we're not looking to actively, like, I think there are some movies that, like, when they revisit a common setting from years past or whatever, like, there's almost like a, we need to like subvert it or apologize for this, and be really self-referential and like kind of like shit on these influences. And it's like, we definitely want to subvert certain things in terms of like order where things happen or do a new twist somewhere
and add some new components to it
and modernize in certain ways. But like, because Founders Day definitely takes place today, but there's echoes of the past. There's a timelessness. There's a stuck in time quality to it, for better and for worse, for these people in this town. And I really like that feeling of like conjuring these emotions and this headspace without copying it. Because the reason you watch these movies is because you want that. So we add our new level of specificity and characters to it, but we're not looking to like actively like subvert and deconstruct and like break it down,
overboard,
break it down to nothing. That's not why people want to enjoy these movies, but just with, you know, the Blomquist brothers spin on it and a 2024, like, you know, a little bit of a sensibility. We want to celebrate them.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure. Yeah. And I think the best way to describe what you guys made is a comfort food slasher. Like it is.
Thank you.
Something that you watch and you're like, oh, this is familiar in the comfort way, but like everything else about it is not, you know, it's not familiar in that sense. You guys made it completely unique, but also had that feel of like a home, like a hominess to it, which
wasn't mean spirited or anything.
No, it was fun. Know? Like it was legitimately fun to watch, which is funny to say like with slashers, because also like if you grew up in the '80s, you know,
some mean spirited shit in it.
This is mean spirited. Like the tone of the movie, we wanted to make a movie that had warmth to it. And did you guys think it was funny? Like, I mean,
very.
Yeah,
I think a lot of your, I think one of my favorite thing about the Blomquist brothers is your casts. Like every time, just nailed, like the She Came from the Woods, that cast is awesome, and one of my favorites, I told you when I met you at the Fangoria signing, Long Lost is absolutely awesome. I love that movie.
Thank you. I'm really proud of that movie. And it's, you know, it's different in certain ways. I mean, it's echoes of like the 80s, 90s erotic thriller, but that's a colder movie. But again, we're not trying to escape those sensibilities. We're celebrating.
Right.
And it's interesting to see that across, like, you know, these large ensemble movies we've done, to Long Lost, which is a 3-person film. It's work within that. And that's fun. And we have our, I think, signature kind of brand of humor that rears its head in unexpected moments, which is, you know, fun to play with in both kind of like casting dynamics, you know.
I think
our screen is meta. We are kind of absurdist, you know.
I like that. Yeah. I also like the pizza time phone number shout out.
That's
phone number.
Did you guys catch that?
Carson's like, hear me out.
420-6969. Pretty
great. It's, you know what I say about that? It's low hanging fruit. But it's the tastiest kind.
Yeah,
of course. Yeah.
And like the fact that in that movie, I know Kim Anderson, but the fact that like you notice it in the background is like the cop comes in and he's like all like morally torn and he's like, like tear going down his eye.
Absolutely.
Oh my God, we're going to pull focus from him crying. And Carson's like, Eric, it's okay.
There was a scene, there was a specific kill scene that actually made me laugh, and I won't go through all the details of it, obviously, because spoiler stuff, but it's a scene that happens where there is somebody getting attacked, and then somebody else shows up, and then the killer looks at that person, and there's that pause where they're, like, seeing each other, and even though they've got a mask on, you can tell that the killer's looking at him like, oh, you're fucked, like, and the person that walks in the room is just like, oh God, what do I do? And then like it goes from there.
One of
my favorite scenes.
Good.
Oh, we had fun. I wish I could say what.
Yeah,
we'll play another.
The viewers will see and yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I wanted to give a shout out to Adam Wepler, who's just fucking. He's in a lot of your movies, and he's just killer and so different in each one. It's great.
It's fun because like each time, you know, we go into something, it's almost like a joke at this point. It's like, what's the spin and like, how's he going to look? And like, you know,
we joke, we're like, what do you want your hair to look like in this one?
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, it was funny. We both walked into that set with, I had just gotten off a show and I had a mustache like I do now. And we both walked in, we're both playing these kind of like between the youth ensemble and the adult ensemble roles. And we're both like,
who's going to
like, I like the idea of like transforming and like, you know, and She Came from the Woods. I'm like this, like bright eyed, bushy tailed, like sad little guy until I'm not. But, and then I'm like, oh, maybe Oliver should have a mustache. And I'm very glad he didn't because it just makes sense as he landed. But we looked at each other.
There's
like
a photo I took before. They're both standing there. Erickson character, but he has a mustache.
We're like, We probably both can't have mustaches and do all these things together.
Don't want to overload the mustaches on the screen.
It made sense for sexy cop to have the sexy stash. But
So, do you think you can handle our you know, Sinister Six questions?
Hit us.
All right.
Sometimes if I'm asked, I don't know what we're going to ask, but and sometimes if we're asked to name movies, I forget that I've ever seen a single movie in my life.
Well, that's fair.
You know, I mean, there are wrong answers, but you know, there's right or wrong answers. You know what I mean? Like, they're opinion questions.
They're fun.
They're fun.
All right. First one. Carson, I'll start with you.
Oh, boy.
Chucky or Pinhead?
Chucky.
Oof, with the right quickness. Off the bat. Yeah. I love it. Eric?
Chucky.
Nice.
We're going to see Child's Play double feature next month. I'm going to shout out Connecticut.
Hell yes.
They do double features of really cool movies.
And with vintage movie trailers in between.
Beautiful.
And I love those.
We squat up in this small town at this really cool theater and we just take it over and it's really fun.
They do raffles.
That's super rad.
Well, and where's that at?
In Connecticut, Seymour, Connecticut. It's called Connecticut Cult Classics. We did the Trilogy of the Dead, so the triple feature including Dawn of the Dead, Night of the Living Dead,
and Day of the Dead
last time. And what was Christmas this year?
I'm forgetting what Christmas was this year. It was
fun. Last year they did like Frankenhooker and My Bloody Valentine, and so it's really fun.
Frankenhooker is a favorite.
I'm sorry. Go.
No,
it's okay. No, you're good.
Is Bigfoot real?
Yeah, asterisk. I don't know if it's exactly how people think, but I think some variation of Bigfoot is out there. I do believe that.
I'd echo that. I think there's more of a chance of the Loch Ness Monster.
Oh, all right,
it's fair. Yeah,
Ryan spent the whole time looking, even though he knows it's not there.
Yeah, I don't believe in the Loch Ness Monster, but I went to Loch Ness and in the highlands of Scotland, and I took a boat trip, which I normally just wouldn't take a boat trip, you know what I mean? But I took a boat trip looking for something I supposedly don't believe in. So maybe I do believe in it. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Went crazy along the way.
Staring at the water. Every single person on the boat staring at the water. That's all we did. Like, they'd be like, oh, look at these beautiful cliffs. We'd be like, uh-huh.
I would mess with people. I'd be like the only one on one side of the boat, and I'd go.
I can't believe I didn't think about. I'm a stand-up comic. I should be like. It should be a whole bit. Yeah,
you guys missed it.
That's a great.
All right. Number three. This is always interesting asking directors and writers. What movie would you remake?
Be anything.
Oh, that is hard.
I know one, but I'm keeping it a secret because I don't want people to know because I want to remake it.
I think I
got fair.
Pick a second choice.
there's two. There's
Oh man. That's tricky. I know.
All right, here's one they're not gonna do, and I think we're both gonna agree on this. Whispering to me.
Oh yeah.
Fright Night.
Oh, okay.
Oh, cool.
Here's the thing. Like, I actually really like that remake.
I love the remake.
Same.
Me too.
The first one is singular in just what it is. I think it's such a perfect 80s, you know, vampire movie. I think it's my favorite vampire movie. But they did a cool approach. And I think if we had something, like we had a remake, I know we wouldn't want to rehash, but we wouldn't want to stray so far that it's not that movie. So it's like really threading a needle.
Peter Vincent's an OnlyFans guy.
Like. No. I hope not.
I wouldn't do that. But I just love that. I mean, we love the blending of genres. We love the, I mean, like you see this very much in She Came From the Woods, like the blending of coming of age meets horror is very.
Yeah.
But we, you know, there's a lot, just on the remake question, there's a lot of like requels, legacy sequels, whatever, to the point where like, you know, we're getting a lot of those. But like, there's something that appeals to us about doing that kind of thing too.
I'll throw out one because it's such a Hail Mary because it's so caught up and it's people are going to.
I don't know if you guys have heard of it.
Friday the 13th. we know what we would do. And you know, it's there's a horde of people obviously fighting over it and fighting for it. But we recently or not recently, as we were gearing up for She Came From the Woods, we got the Shout Factory box set,
right,
and there. We just walked through all of them, not to lift, but just to put ourselves in that frame of mind. And we were struck by how different they were, and how like some, there were things about like the lesser liked ones that we were really drawn to. And
which was your favorite?
There's a lot I like about Six. Yeah. I think that there's something about the celebration of Six and Jason really like kind of becoming exactly as you know. You like Two.
Right? I like Two. So I'm like a coin flip sometimes between Two and Six for the originals.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
I'm a remake sympathizer. I am. I think it's a fun installment. I know some people might not agree, but I think
love that prologue. The first 15 minutes.
That 15 minutes. Yeah. I don't know. You're going to get different opinions throughout. I mean, obviously Six and Four are common answers, but I've talked to someone who has.
Eight is mine.
Eight is yours. Yeah. And
we always champion Eight and Jason X.
Is Eight Manhattan?
Interestingly, Manhattan's
legitimately good.
I also have a sympathizer if Jason Goes to Hell. I think it's a big swing, but
yeah.
When you're on the ninth movie, you know,
like, I mean, honestly, at that point, they're like, "Fuck it, it's a possession movie. Let's go." Like, yeah. That's really what it is, you know.
It was interesting. It was interesting, you know, but a very fun, crazy franchise.
Yeah.
Sure. All right, number four. I'm gonna go with you.
Mm-hmm.
If you could erase one movie from existence, what would it be? And it doesn't have to be horror.
That's hard.
Erase it. So why would you want to erase it?
That it'd have an impact on society.
You could pick the chaos effect, and you could erase one that's like Star
Wars.
Popular.
Star Wars.
Why?
There you go. That's
I love
chaos
it. Effect. I love that answer. I think that's a great answer.
Yeah.
I'd just be curious, you know.
Yeah,
it's totally.
just to see how the world changed.
Yeah.
If there wasn't.
Yeah.
Maybe in
great answer.
I mean, point. Graham's answer to this question is Scream, just to see the chaos effect.
Because I think it changed the course of horror,
right.
When it came out. And
so what would have happened? Yeah.
Yeah, I want to know sort of like if that hadn't like sort of thrown it off course or whatever. Yeah. What would have happened? So, but I don't actually want that. I love Scream.
Right.
There's a movie I acted in that I'm not going to name that I wish was erased from existence.
Fair.
Name stricken from the record, but answer is locked.
There's two answers to this question from people in the industry. It's either like where you're at, like I don't know if I want to answer this question, or they have one immediately cocked and ready, and it's like
they were ready for the question.
Yeah.
Where they're like, finally somebody asked me, fuck this movie. It's just like, all right.
Mine were the Rob Zombie Halloween movies. You don't have to comment.
all right. Number five. Alien. Carson, this is for you. Alien or Aliens?
You know, it's a hard one. I saw Alien more recently in the theater, probably a few years ago. It was like maybe around COVID time.
I was there.
I mean, yeah, with Eric. It was amazing.
Was it for the 40th anniversary?
I think it was the 40th.
The 4K and everything. I saw it in the theater. It was amazing.
I don't think I can fairly judge it right now because the last time I saw Aliens was when it was like when I was like a kid on TV.
That's what I was about to say. It was one of those things where like our dad's like watching an R-rated movie and we're like, oh my God, you know, like this is crazy.
Maybe I'll choose that one just because of the memory attached to it.
Huh? Fair. No, that's totally.
And I'll pick Alien because I have more of a concrete memory of watching it. But I think we're due for an Aliens rewatch.
Moral of the story, Sigourney Weaver should be in our next movie.
That's what we're
doing. I agree.
I'm agreeing with that 100%.
Yeah. You guys always have great casting. All right. Last one, number six. Eric, basement or attic?
Oh, wow.
I told you it was a good question.
That is
a good question.
Wow. This is tough. No. I'm going to go.
This is my favorite.
I like the trip up to the attic, but I like the being in the, because there's like tunnels and layers and stuff. Mm-hmm. I'll go basement. It's where they, because I like the scene. I have a formative memory of creepy mom giving Freddy the knives and like, mommy got the knives. So I'm going to go basement.
Cool.
Love it. Carson?
I'm going up. Attic.
Good luck.
Who knows what's there?
Exactly.
That's how the Goonies started.
Yeah.
I mean, the attic could be full of old Christmas lights and doll parts, or it could be filled with demons. You have no idea.
Like, you and really don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you have
still
no idea.
Still pretty scary.
Mm-hmm.
That was awesome.
That was really good.
No, thank you.
Yeah, you guys fucking crushed those.
So in our time together, what's the Founders Day? Like, what's the cycle of events? Theaters, what's going on?
Where can people see
it? Where are people going to be able to see it?
It is on video demand as we speak. We were in theaters in January, right. Like 740 theaters across the country. Right. And we are on VOD now. We're buy rent on Apple TV, Google Play, YouTube Movies, soon to be, if not already, Prime Video, Fandango at Home, I think is what Voodoo is called now.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And a bunch of the cable providers. And so that's what's happening now. And then at some point it'll just keep rolling its course. But if you want to watch it now and be part of the conversation, which I hope you do, please check it out. We love, you know, sharing this with people, and it's been a very, very long road. Oh, and Blu-ray. I will very much push the Blu-ray because we have a lot of bonus features on it. We have BTS.
Yeah. We're Blu-ray kind of guys.
So. Concept trailer that we made in 2013 for the movie with commentary, and you just you really see the journey, and a bunch of photos and a time lapse of the entire production, right. Like at 1,000 times speed, so you get to just see the whole movie on fast forward over, you know, all, you know, the weeks of them making the movie in 20 minutes.
It's really cool one. Yeah,
that's super cool.
And how's the script for Founders Day 2 coming along?
For a movie that we were never planning on making, good.
Whenever anyone asks, actually, because of people asking,
yeah, it's actually
thinking about it. And now when people ask, we say we know what we would do, and
we actually do have a good idea. Nothing, no pen to paper yet or anything, but
it would have the same heartbeat, but it would be a different movie. But it'd be a really cool setting, really cool imagery, and we have some really striking sequences we would want to do. That would be really cool.
I mean, like, you know, I mean, I love, think I mean, you know, in the yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great mask.
It's a great mask. Is. You don't want to use it for just one. You know what I mean? I'm just saying. Just put it.
It all starts with an idea, right? So you never know.
I really got to shout out Altirian and Tony and Brian and Josh and Kira for all their help, because it was just a dream. It's like the unboxing of the mask for the first time was like,
yeah, was special.
It was like a religious experience. It was just like, yeah.
That's
so rad.
Real quick, since we do have a little bit more time with you guys, I just have a question. Who was it that did your guys' effects? Because your effects in the movie were fantastic.
Oh, thank you. Primarily it was a guy named John Lauterbach who did a lot of the blood effects and the gags, and he
designed the gavel.
He built the gavel.
Oh,
cool.
Fabricated and built the gavel. We have three of them.
Practical, they work. It's really cool.
Yeah.
I'm a big practical effects junkie, so like anytime I see stuff like that on screen, and also like the way that you guys pulled off the kills and did the kills, fantastic stuff. So I was like shouting out effects artists whenever possible.
Yeah. No, I mean he's amazing, and you know, we for the amount of time that we gave him, both prep and on the day, it's amazing. It's always exciting for us because like as horror kids, we just seeing our own thing like come to life is like
special. It's really special.
All right, we generally end on recommendations. We each give you one movie that you would recommend everybody to see.
In general, okay.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah.
Anything.
Carson, you go first.
I almost was tempted to say Friday Night, but you mentioned it earlier.
I'm gonna go The Guest,
and I was gonna go Your Next. That's so funny.
Yes.
Oh, dude. Beautiful.
That's still like my favorite.
Watch a double feature of those two movies. Awesome. That was
I think there's something when you talk about like specific tone, when you talk about kind of like honoring certain movies, but like doing your own thing with it, I think those are just so good. And like the performances, like Dan Stevens and the guest. Dan Stevens has such like a cool eclectic mix of characters. It's so
he's pretty wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah, to see this
big Stevens fan.
Yeah,
he's the man. And I'll shout out
both of those movies are now due for a rewatch for us.
I know they are.
What was so the other one? The guest.
I was going to say, I'll shout out our friend Nick, who is.
He said you're next.
Yeah, you're next.
Oh, yeah. It's like my two favorites.
And yeah, those guys and that two movie stretch. So awesome. But yeah.
And they're coming back for a third team up action thrill. I saw it. They're developing
a new movie.
Very
excited. Oh, shit. Very yep. nice. Dan wow. Stevens was just in Abigail, which was yeah. also fantastic.
Like, yeah, he's great in that.
We saw the we saw it at Overlook. I'm just laughing because the like premiere, the press people at Overlook were like that Carson got on camera beforehand when they were hyping everybody up, and they were like, "Why are you excited? And you said that you loved Vampires. Who's in Fright Night was your favorite?" And so I'm just laughing. Yeah. But it's
it was
a really really fun time. Really fun at Overlook. Huge vocal reactions.
Love it. Oh yeah. Well, thank you all for joining us.
That's out today, too. We're on the iTunes charts together. Who would have thunk it?
Who would have thunk
Hell it? Hell yeah.
Well, thank you all so much for joining us. Next time you got something out, come back, and we'd love to have you again. So,
yeah, please. Yeah. I'm a big fan of all your movies. Yeah. Like, they've all got something different and special and warm about them, except Long Lost. It's not really warm, you're right, but it's fucking great. Like I watched it because Catherine Corcoran was in it, and I was like, well, the last thing I saw, she was getting sawed in half, so let's see how this goes.
We're talking to her in New Orleans.
She was amazing in that movie, so yeah, anyway, yeah. Sorry,
I know, I'm very happy that we made it when we did. I love the performances. If you're a fan of Your Next, if you're a fan of Nick Tucci, he was deeply, deeply proud of this movie and the character that he played. And so
everybody killed it in that.
Yeah. I mean, please check out the filmography. If you like it, please, we love talking about it. So, you know, hit us up and we'll get back to you. But,
awesome.
Yeah. We'll be telling everybody about it. And you guys are on the movie itself is on socials, right? It's got its own social. Like,
is it? Yeah. We're on Facebook, Mainframe Picks on Twitter, and at Founders Day Movie on Instagram. We're going to be running a contest soon. I think we're going to do some kind of giveaway. So if people want to get there, we can.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, if you just want to give us stuff and we can
we'll show everybody everything.
we have a ton of those like vote Gladwell, vote Faulkner pins. So we'll see.
Those are great. All right, y'all, take care.
Bye, guys. Thank you so much.
Have a good one. Thank you guys so much.
Bye. Well, that was a lot of fun.
That was really cool. They were really awesome. Sorry about the mangled intro. I wasn't prepared for that. It felt like, because the Zooms were all different, it felt like we were at somebody else's house, so I was being like really polite, but I was also nervous. It was weird.
But that's what happens
now. I feel like we're back home, and now I can talk loosely.
Great. Well, you know, we're about pretty, I'm pretty
whatever. So, you
know, I don't know about Jonas, but it's no, he's but it's you know, no, the intro was fine. We got it. You know what I mean? We usually blather a lot. The people probably enjoyed the.
Oh no, we didn't talk about the fucking weather. Guess what? No. It's warm.
They had a short time with us, Carson and Eric. They had a short time with us, which actually we got an extra 10 minutes. That was super cool.
That's what happens when our guests have fun. They give us extra time.
Yeah. They're like, okay, these guys aren't chumps. I do pat ourselves on the back a little bit because we are routinely the fun stop for people, especially people doing a lot of press, because we are kind of the real deal. You know,
press junkets are fucking boring. I mean, you know, they can be. Like, they can be real fucking boring. And I think all of us kind of know that. So when we have people coming on to promote their stuff, it's like, yeah, we're promoting your stuff. And also we're horror nerds. So let's have some fun, you know? Luckily it translates. It seems to anyway.
Totally.
Yeah. Ryan, what have you been up to lately?
Well, I don't know. You know,
Ryan hasn't done shit.
Yeah. I haven't done shit. No, I've been laser focused, and I'll apologize to all the listeners now. My getting the episodes out has been a little bumpy. I've been laser focused on stand up lately. I had some big things coming up. I opened for Alfred Robles at Helium for a double show night. He is fantastic. LA Mexican comedian. He was Fluffy's opener for a long time. He was the first comedian to ever do Dodger Stadium. Really nice guy. Super.
He opened up for Fluffy. Fluffy was
the first Dodgers Stadium.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He sold out Dodger Stadium for a stand-up show. That's fucking crazy.
I thought he was just a wrestling fan.
He's definitely that too.
Yeah.
But no, Alfred opened for Fluffy when Fluffy was still fat. He's one of the biggest comedians of all time.
Yeah.
Graham's high, guys. Graham's high right now.
Fluffy is arguably maybe the biggest comedian, do you think?
I would say he has to be. He is. Like, just as far as like universal popularity, as far as like tickets moved, as far as like content out there. He's definitely
Sebastian or whatever.
Now, Sebastian's not worldwide. Not to
Fluffy. Also, level. We can't mention his name three times. He's like Italian Beetlejuice. If we do it a third time, he'll show up and he'll do a bad impression.
I think like Sebastian lives in that Jeff Foxworthy, what's the dude with the racist puppets? That guy, you know, I mean, those people.
Who's
sell
the racist
out.
Puppets guy?
Those people sell out. Like, there's like a whole side of
and Fluffy's that, like them.
He's above that.
He's above like, that.
Sebastian Maniscalco will sell out Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, sure.
And he'll do it like four times in a row.
Okay, that seems
Fluffy.
Big.
Fluffy will do that in one night.
Yeah,
at Dodger Stadium. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. It's like the amount of tickets, because he actually, when Fluffy did Dodger Stadium, he had to do two shows because it oversold. Like, so they had to add a show to Dodger Stadium, which is in fucking sane. Like, that's the largest audience that a comedian has ever performed in front of. For a singular show, not in like a festival or something like that, like just a singular, this is my show, I'm doing this type of thing. That's the biggest
crowd. Wild.
Yeah. And he had to do it two times because there was enough tickets being sold that he could sell it out twice. Like, that's fucking crazy.
Wait, he did it four in one day twice?
No, he did two shows. It was two shows because he recorded the whole thing too. So he sold out Dodger Stadium.
I don't really
twice.
Care. Let's talk about horror more.
Yeah, and he
good. More Fluffy talk. So no. I was kidding. I know who Fluffy is. I just don't. I didn't know he was that big. Honestly, I had no idea he was fucking giant.
Yeah.
I'd say you know Nathan Hart does pretty good. You know what I mean? Like, he sells out a lot of things. You know, Fluffy's above even that. So he's
the biggest in the world.
Yeah,
I'd argue probably the biggest comedian of the world.
I would say it is.
His opener, I opened for him or hosted for them. And
that's Robles, amazing.
And he's really funny, super good guy. It was awesome. Local guys brought birria I want to just open up for all Mexican things now.
You just want green rooms full of birria.
That's all I want. And then
just get famous so you can put that in your rider. Just be like, I have to have birria in my fucking green room.
Right. And then a couple of days later, I opened up for Roy Woods Jr. And that was pretty spectacular. So
God damn, how many people there?
I think around 1,100, something like that.
It's a beefy theater, my friend.
Yeah, it was a beefy theater, and they were
theater of beef.
Mm-hmm.
And they were into it. They had fun, and Roy Woods Jr.
Be honest, when you saw that many people out there, did you shit your pants just a little bit?
You know what? I thought I was going to, and like I thought I was going to be. I was kind of curious as to how
I was prepared.
I was.
I knew that he didn't shit too much.
I had my shitting pants on. You know. That's from Walking Dead what's his fuck?
They shit their pants.
No, what's his name? What's his name on Talking Dead? The fucking dude with the baseball bat.
I don't know. Negan.
Negan
says to him, "You wearing your shitting pants?" He goes, what are you doing? He's like, because you're about to shit your pants. And I always thought the best answer to that would be like, you know, actually, I am wearing my shit and pants. You know what I mean? But no, and I walked when I walked out there, I was wondering, but when we did soundtrack and I went out there and just like looking at that place and just kind of like hanging out there, once we did that, it was cool. It was just like another show. It was fine. I was more nervous coming up to it, like that. How was I going to get in? And the actual like stand-ups, like I think stand-ups easier than like having a conversation with someone. Do you know what I mean? Like raw dogging conversations with people, that's terrible. Like give me like 6, 7 months, 8 months to practice a conversation, and I'm way better at it. You know, I mean, I was more.
You got a fucking microphone in your hand. You're the one that's in control.
You're probably right? Okay because I shit my pants for you.
Thank you. Here. Thank you. Sure. Yeah. The one thing I did do though is I was so nervous driving up to it is I forgot where I parked. So
nice. That's scary for a bit.
Yeah. So when I got out, I was like, I don't know where the fuck I parked. So I got to stroll around beautiful downtown Portland for about 40 minutes looking for my truck. But I found it. So yeah.
Very nice.
Anyway, so yeah, that was awesome. Love you, Jonas, for getting to do something like that because that's a pretty special thing. Roy Woods Jr. I'm going to start recommendations right now. I'm just going to start recommendations. Roy Woods Jr., go watch all his specials. They go watch Father Figure. Go watch them all. Go watch Fletch. He's in it. The remake of Fletch with Jon Hamm. He's in it. Go watch.
He's got a bunch of shit on Comedy Central, too.
Yeah, a bunch of shit on Comedy Central. He hosts The Daily Show for a while. He is honestly like beyond being just one of the funniest people alive. And like top tier. I hate saying Mount Rushmore comic, but that's what I mean. I hate, because Mount Rushmore sucks. But
ugly fucking mountain.
Dude, like the mountain was beautiful before they fucking plastered all his assholes on it, you know. And
you mean before they put shitty white guys on?
Yeah, exactly. It's like the mountain is beautiful. Look at people go look at the picture of what Rushmore looked like before they fucking put those assholes. You'd be like, this mountain was just fine. Like this mountain was fucking gorgeous. But
old white dudes ruined it again.
Yeah, exactly. And a Klansman had it built.
We should start referring to it as like the Powerpuff Girls of.
Yeah, something exactly. Something along those lines. Something along those lines. If you have like the top, the top tier of comedians. I mean, you know, he would be easily in the top three. You know, and so to have that opportunity to work with him and to have him say the nice things he said to me and to just soak in as much of that meant the world. And he is the absolute fucking best dude. Like for a guy who's done the highest of heights of this, like hosted the White House Correspondents' Dinner, like real stuff. You know what I mean? Not even just like, oh, he's a good comic, blah, blah, blah. He's done like real things.
Like what a cool feather in the cap to have for such a terrible gig. You know what I mean? Totally. Like that's got to be one of those things where like you can tell your fucking grandkids that you did the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Exactly.
But then you can tell other people like, also, I did the fucking White House Correspondents.
Right. I mean, I think every comic looks at that gig as like, you know, everybody in the world goes, that must be fun. And every comic goes, that looks like a nightmare.
It's like a casino from hell. Like,
exactly. But he was really great. So that's my first suggestion is soak in all Roy Woods Jr. stuff. He's just the best. I'm going to resuggest. From the past, we had the author on, and I've suggested this book a lot of times, but just for shits and giggles, we suggest Fever House.
Fucking right, you will.
You know what I mean? Like, so, Joe Hill, Stephen King's son, he changed his name so it didn't sound like Stephen King, but looks just like his dad, and
also the writer of the Black Phone.
Writer of the Black Phone
and Nosferatu.
Nosferatu. Mm-hmm. And also what's that series that was on Netflix about the house and the keys, Lock and Key. So you know, so he's written a lot of great stuff, really brilliant guy. writes a lot of amazing comics, and is this, and he writes them all in his father's universe, which is kind of fun to continue that on.
Pretty cool.
He got this book and then posted it on Twitter and just said, "Oh my God, this book's amazing."
Mm-hmm. And then, his dad tweeted it.
Yep. And then Stephen King himself grabbed it. And so I'm just saying, the circle, like Fever House is a guest of the show. Yep. And like, I've been like pushing this book out for the beginning. And if you're not, like, this is like, if you're gonna read a book, and even if you don't read books, read this book. Like, ask Graham, what did you think about it, Graham?
It's like my favorite book.
Yeah, it's like you read the shit out of it, right? Like, it's a page, read
the
turn,
shit out of it.
It's a crime horror espionage novel, and just go read the book and then go listen to the episode, and you're gonna
and
be
it's
happy
punk rock as fuck.
It's punk as fuck.
It really is punk rock as fuck,
and it's absolutely great, and I'm glad like Keith Rossin is getting the getting the love he deserves from the people that deserve it, because what he wrote there was an excellent
and honestly the fucking book. Literal king of horror literature.
Mm-hmm.
And his son are both like fuck right.
Yeah, right. They're both on the Fever House train.
Right, real recognizes real. You know what I mean? Like, and that's what goes on. So
what we're trying to say is listen to what the fuck we post. Like, listen to what we push out to you guys, because we know our shit.
We're not fucking around.
Because I beat Stephen King way to this. You know what I mean? Like, Stephen King should be calling me, being like, "Yo, bro, you were right." I'm waiting on that call, actually.
And it's because of Ryan, but even I beat him to it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's true.
Exactly. So yeah, shout out to and then lastly, you know, I hate to jump on the bandwagon, but I really enjoyed the Fallout show, and I know that everybody kind of talked about it a lot.
It was a great show.
I just started it. We've watched two episodes. It's great.
Yeah, it's fucking great. Awesome.
It's super fun. The acting's really good. Yeah. Of course,
I watched the whole shit in one day.
Walter Goggins is great. Fantastic. You know what I mean?
How is Walton Goggins still fuckable without a face? Like, people are lusting.
Because
it's not about the
face. You know what I mean?
He doesn't have a nose.
It's
fucking weird and gross.
Yeah. And like, people are still lusting after him.
Did you guys hear what my idea was? But rather than having a like a post-apocalyptic noseless cowboy, which is a cool character. I mean, come on, that's a cool character.
It's Red Skull in the West.
Yes. But I wanted post-apocalyptic scoffing. You know what I mean? Like,
You got Renfield. Just calm down for a while.
Yeah,
no,
dude.
No, it's only Renfield only starts the fire, man. Renfield.
I'm sitting here singing your fucking praises for your Roy Woods Jr. opening, and you throw ska into this bullshit.
Dude, just imagine skanking across. You know what I mean? Like, you know.
I don't want a post-apocalyptic Fallout world with some cocksucker scatting around the fucking landscape. All right.
What
I
if the movie
that.
Was
that,
called
Trumpets and
if,
shit? I don't need those.
Make a movie called Blood Skank.
Yeah.
Everybody will know.
It's a
exactly
great title.
What
I don't even know what that movie's about. That title rules. Actually, you know, fuck it. We could have a ska band in a Fallout universe. That could actually be fun, actually. Now that I think about it, now that I'm not angry about it for that, you know, I was
Blood
real pissed
Skank
for like 10 seconds.
Would be a fun band.
This is not a recommendation, but I recently re-listened to Dave Attell's Skanks for the Memories.
I'll fucking recommend that. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's
I don't care how bad it ages.
Yeah, it has not aged. I'm just saying it is not aged well. But
it aged poorly, and also track to track, front to back, one of the best comedy albums of all fucking time. It aged like milk in the sun.
Right. It was like classic Attell, and he was just literally rolling anything off his tongue.
Yep.
And some of it's not safe for our fans, but boy, it's a listen. Anyways, Graham, what do you got?
Some of it is culturally insensitive.
Oh my God. All right, I'm going to go with music. This one's a lot for Ryan too. Specifically AWOL, AWOL. They have a new album out called Tear 'Em to Bits. They're from Australia. And they're on Flat Spot Records, which is a very good thing. So that kicks ass. It's just fucking badass hardcore. Almost like God's Hate, but like from Australia, so maybe drunker and right. pissed off. Like, I don't know. It's pretty great. I fucking love that. And
can we get somebody from Flat Spot on here? Like, my God, like they just crank out
right?
like band after band after band. Like kind of saving hardcore. You know what I mean? Like it's like
it's awesome.
Maybe it's because I'm old, but like I'm like everything that comes out of there, I'm like, this is perfect. This is perfect.
Let's see, Gen Pop from the Bomb Pops.
Or great.
And even though I'm still kind of team Polly, this Gen Pop put out a pop album. It's flat out pop, and it's fucking rad. It's pure pop. That's it. But it really cooks. I like it a lot. My big one for music this week is Plague Vendor. I don't know if I've recommended them before.
What an awesome name.
Such a great name. They play this dark graveyard groove. And like the lead singer's like it just sounds like he's wearing like leather pants and like snakeskin boots and like a shirt that barely, and he's crooning sort of, but like the band is all on the dirtiest high-end drugs, and but it's kind of just like garage rock too. It's just basic rock and roll with a punkish edge. You're just
describing me, right?
You? Yeah.
Like, and like exactly boots.
Yeah.
And, you know, plague vendors, what they
filled
call me,
with
call me down at the bathhouse.
So. Of course they do down by the bathroom. And so
I'm listening and I'm also trying to find the band that I'm going to recommend to
Plague Vendor. They've got an album out called By Night, which is fucking amazing. There's a song in there. Just start with the first song. Come Down, the new Come Down, it's called, fucking fantastic. And then they just dropped an EP called Rougher Than Rough, and it smokes. My favorite song on that is Run. It's just they're fucking fantastic, sort of just rock band that's sexy as fuck. Graveyard groove is a great term. I think I didn't come up with it. For movies, I'm going, if you can catch it in the theater, go see Abigail. Fucking rips. Amazing.
It also dropped a video on demand today.
Fantastic. And and if you don't want to do that, watch Infested on Shudder. It's one of my favorite movies so far this year. It's French and it's got a dope soundtrack, and it's just a scary spider movie, and that's, I'm here for that. So
it's a straight up icky. It's an icky spider movie. Like, it's you know,
it's pretty gross.
What's funny about spider movies is that, like, I'm arachnophobic as fuck. Like, I do not like spiders. But also, my mom taught me one thing. If spider's in the house and I have the opportunity to let it go outside, I do that. Like, if I can catch it in a glass or something and let it go, I'm fucking great. You know, they're just trying to do their spider thing. However, spider movies generally absolutely make my skin crawl off my bones. Infested.
How'd you do with arachnophobia?
Arachnophobia fucked me up for a period of time. It was one of those things where it was just like, I don't know how long this is going to last, but I'm icked out for a while. And I'll always recommend Arachnophobia as far as just like high quality spider movies. That was a fucking great one. Infested is fantastic though. Like, even as somebody like me, who's like, who has spider issues, I'll fucking watch that movie again. And
the French just have like this weird edge to them. And that director is doing an Evil Dead spinoff, which I'm not sure what exactly that entails, if it means something different or if it's what they're doing. But like, apparently it's his next movie. Like, they grabbed him right after seeing this movie and were like, will you do a spinoff of Evil Dead? And he was like,
nice.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
I just want to do one music thing real quick.
Yeah,
kind of based on that, is I want to like really suggest like grime and English hip hop. like scraps and stuff like that. Like it's not a genre like I've really fucked with, but I've been listening to a lot of it lately, and it's very good. I would also strongly suggest the diss songs between Drake and Kendrick Lamar and Rick Ross and J. Cole. That's been fun. So.
I'm gonna leave my opinion out of that because this will be it's one of the worst fucking beefs of all time. Absolute horseshit. But
I disagree.
The tracks were great. This is the thing. The tracks were fantastic.
Okay.
The beef was ridiculous because there's absolutely no way in any reality at any time Drake could do anything to Kendrick Lamar.
Except for the fact that
he's calling out a pedophile.
Yeah.
I'm so down for that, no matter how lopsided it is. He's calling out a pedophile. And if you're not like, this is pretty fucking cool.
And that part's cool.
And why
it's great. I'm behind it.
Why we all know that Kendrick is the best.
He's better.
I mean, pretty close to one of the best out there. I'd say
for sure.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't listen to a lot of Kendrick. It's not really like my thing. But like,
I fuck with Kendrick like that. But it's Drake,
and he's talented.
I love Kendrick, but he's not my go-to.
Like, you say he might not be able to do anything, except for the fact that Drake has like 50 billion more fans and is like a way more like powerful entity in music. You know what I mean? It would be like me getting,
which also in a, just in a makes me, this piece. Pedophile thing is not news either. Kendrick didn't break this. So people that have been Kendrick fans that are coming out now, like, I'm already sus of you. Like, I don't
know. Everybody knows that Drake is a fucking groomer. Everybody knows that. That's not new. Not new information in any way, shape, or form. But
and that's why he should never talk or have a job.
Yeah, and that's like, so I'm cool. I am eternally cool with anybody calling that out. However, from a hip hop fan standpoint, and also from somebody who grew up watching the most famous hip hop beef of all fucking time, watching this isn't even a beef. This is Kendrick Lamar beating up a toddler. It's like the worst fucking beef of all time.
Yeah, a toddler who's got like $1 billion. You
know I don't mean? Care like, how much money he has. It doesn't matter how popular he is. It's a literally shitty beef.
I'm just saying, you know, you work in the entertainment business. You know why it was really fucked up with like Louis C.K. he did and shit like that, because of the power dynamic is different. And like, yes, Kendrick is big, but Kendrick ain't Drake big. Drake's like Japanese sold out crowd big, you know what I mean? Like, and like Kendrick's right. like more of like a rapper's rap, you know what I mean? And like has had some big hit, but he's not like, you know what I'm saying? So I think it is, there is a like, while like if you read social media, like tons of people are like thinking Drake is winning just because they are nuts about Drake, you know what I mean? Like, and
also because people on social media are fucking dumb sometimes.
Yeah, like, I mean, duh. I'm just saying though that it's not. It's like we all think it's lopsided because, like, I'm a fan of hip hop, and like you would have to be like, I don't even know why this is a thing. But then you like pan out a little bit, and it's like, oh, this is kind of like underground versus like it's a little. I mean, believe it or not, it's a little David and Goliath. I'm just like, you know what I mean? And it's like, we don't maybe see that because like I value like underground people as much. And I think, you know, Kendrick is pretty big, but like, man, Drake's like fucking like Taylor Swift big. You know what I mean? Like Taylor, like he's.
And also fuck him.
Yeah. No, yeah. Trust me. I know. And this is why he's gotten away with all the pedophile stuff, is because nobody wanted to. It's like when everybody knew that Tiger Woods was a piece of shit. Like if you fuck with him, if you were a journalist who wrote bad things about Tiger Woods, well then you would never have access to Tiger Woods again. And like if you're a golf journalist and you don't have access to Tiger Woods, you might as well just not be a golf journalist.
Yeah. Yeah, see, that's why I didn't want to go off on it. I'm very passionate about my rap beefs. But my recommendations, I will do music. I'm going to recommend, I'm going to keep recommending Kitty because they keep on dropping awesome fucking tracks. I'm also going to recommend the Knocked Loose and Poppy track, Suffocate, because that was also awesome. I'm like forever a Poppy fan. And then Poppy mixed with Knocked Loose. That really worked better than I thought it would.
It is a great song. It's great.
Works really well.
I'm excited for the record.
So am I. Yeah, I'm legit excited for it. Also, Soft Play's newest song, Act Violently, also fucking rules. That was really fun. So those are my music recs. We already recommended Abigail. I'm going to recommend Humane, which is Caitlin Cronenberg's movie.
Where'd you see
this? This is the only thing I'm going to tell you about this movie. It is not what you think it is, and that's great. It's a really awesome movie.
This is the third Cronenberg?
Yep.
Yeah.
This is the third Cronenberg, and I can tell you this unequivocally after watching this movie. All three of them have vastly different views on horror filmmaking. And it's awesome. Like all three of them have their individual voices.
Well, it's not like their dad didn't look at horror in a vastly different way then.
Right, right. But I'm saying like you would
expect than anybody at the time.
Of course. And you would expect
and still does. He does weird shit. It's pretty wild.
He really does. And like that's that, but I think that's what's cool about this, because if you look at somebody like David Cronenberg and you have that name attached to you, there's an expectation. Obviously, because your dad is such a legendary horror filmmaker, but also he's like the godfather of body horror. So you might expect that Brandon would be that way, or that Caitlin would be that way, or whatever. And Brandon like is kind of that way, but Brandon's shit's fucked up in a whole different way. And then Caitlin has a completely unique voice with Humane. Humane's fun. The reviews on it are kind of weirdly shitty. And I think that is just because of the fact that I'm not usually somebody that would jump on this train, but I think it's because she's a female
critics
filmmaker.
Are trash. Yeah.
I think there's definitely
except
some
Jonas
fucking, yeah, you know, except yeah. all of us guys, all of us. But yes, yeah, it's totally it's are. Very good
hardcore.
Yeah, it's very very
hardcore
good.
Critic
yeah
I forget the Danzig shit daily.
Yeah,
hardcore.
And then finally, I'm going to recommend the physical media label Unearthed Films, because they keep on coming out with really awesome extreme horror that you can't find anywhere else. So if extreme horror is your thing, go to unearthedfilms.com and look up their stuff, because all of it's like reasonably priced. They have sales all the time, and all of it's like stuff that like they're only the only ones that come out with it. So it's a great site full of a lot of really fucked up horror. So if that's your jam, go to them.
Yeah, I'm still waiting on my Massacre. I think Massacre Films
video?
or Vinegar. Yeah, there was some sale. I'm actually waiting for
it was
a
Massacre
bunch
video.
Of right, and I also got I think Beaten to Death pre-order.
Oh yeah, from Umbrella.
Yeah, and I got a pre-order of Brooklyn 45.
Fuck
I'm
yeah.
pretty excited about that.
Also, our guests, the Bloomquists, the Founders Day Blu-ray, I already pre-ordered it. Between the time that we interviewed them and did this right now, I actually already pre-ordered it. It's coming out in like the beginning of June.
Multitasking like a motherfucker.
I'm passionate about my physical media. So
do you think they could tell I was high?
I don't know. I mean you sold it pretty well except for your eyes, face, and general demeanor. I'm kidding. You're
it's
fine.
Pretty normal.
Fine. No, you're
I
fine.
I guess my
no,
eyes
really. You were totally fine. Legitimately you were totally fine. You actually didn't even seem high at all when you were interviewing them.
Thank you. No,
you waited until we did our thing. You were like, now I can be high. Now I can
I let my gut out once they were gone.
Loosened up the belt.
Cool.
Yeah, those are my recommendations.
All right. What is
what else are we missing? Oh, I want to talk about Drip Beverage Lounge on May 23rd, 9 p.m. in Brooklyn. I'm throwing a horror night. down in a real cool fucking basement. It's 420 friendly. They have the best food and drinks in the neighborhood.
Are they the Haitian patty place?
Fuck right.
Oh yeah, dude.
Yeah.
I can't wait for that.
and everybody there, it's like we're all this, like I'm going to baby showers there and birthdays. I like there's a kid that hangs out there, the owner's wife, and their kid hangs out there. I play with her all the time. Her name's Zaya. She's amazing. Huge shout out to everybody there. Sonia, Savannah, B, V, Lise, Isaiah. It's fucking rad. It's gonna and everybody's coming out. It's gonna be super fun. So come to
that. I'll be there too.
Awesome. I'm not sure what I'm playing yet. And I shouldn't say it here anyway.
It'll be a surprise.
Yeah.
It'll totally be a surprise. Oh,
also I think it's better not to say, because then like you don't get in trouble for playing a movie you're not supposed to.
That's a whole different animal. But also on the physical media thing, before I forget, pre-order Late Night with the Devil from Umbrella Entertainment, like right fucking now. Because it's selling out like quicker
that
than
one
shit.
That one with the TV guide and shit.
Yeah it like so yeah, if you're gonna pre-order it, fucking do it
it's
now.
Like $100.
Yeah, if you're gonna do it right now, because it is selling out. It's got like the TV guide, it's got the VHS thing, it's got the fucking Blu-ray. It's a
it looks
fucking amazing
like
set,
a banger,
dude.
yeah
So yeah, that one, that's more of just a PSA, like if you want physical media, that one specifically, do it right now, because it's really selling out quick.
All right, Ryan, you got some cities and towns and countries.
Actually, it's not loading. I have to like update it for some reason. So I just read off.
Just take a guess.
I'm gonna say New Zealand is number one.
I like it.
And Turks in our hearts. In Germany.
And then France. Canada.
Tons of people in France.
France. I've been liking France a lot lately because of WWE's backlash. Holy shit. I've never seen a crowd go off.
Can we read the
Army of the Goddamned?
Army of the Goddamned.
Yeah, hold on.
But also,
I mean,
shout
I should
out
say
to...
that way more excited.
No, but shout out to
they
Morbidly...
fucking rule.
Shout out to morbidlybeautiful.com also while Graham's loading that up, because
yeah, no, I got
they've,
it.
They've been pushing our stuff, and like they push our episodes out there, and they're another avenue. They also allow me to write stuff. They would allow all of us to write stuff if we wanted to. But yeah, they fucking rule. Stephanie rules. She's the editor in chief. She's fantastic. So support morbidlybeautiful.com as well. Army of Goddamn.
You can support us by joining our Patreon, which has a bunch of different levels, and from $1 to like $20, and it helps us do better. But if you join, you can be part of the Army of the Goddamn. And so far, our beloved and loyal Army of the Goddamn, Michael, Drew, Stephanie, Katie, Chris, Alan, Bacon Bits, Angela, Jasmine, Jason, Jake, Vivian, Ron, Kristen, Manny, Coleman, Ryan, Jared, Michelle, and Brandon. Thank you all so much. You fucking rule.
Amazing.
We also got shirts coming sometime soon.
Oh, that's right.
Goodbye, everybody.
They fucking look good.
They do.
Goodbye, everybody.
What, not so starting fires and shit?
I'm about to say it, dude. You're stepping on my head, bro.
God.
I thought you were just going to turn it off. You seem very upset.
I seem upset?
Yeah.
Is it because there's a dog barking in the background? Is that why?
Like you're about to pass out
my
of
dogs
boredom.
Bark all the time. No, I'm not passing out from boredom. I'm
all right.
Totally fine. I was actually just doing kind of a bit. God damn. Tough crowd in here.
We need to keep you humble after the Roy Wood Jr. show.
Kristen Lighty's what is it? Disassociation Vacation. Her comedy album. Fucking rad. I loved it.
Oh, fuck yeah. There you go. Yeah.
Hey, everybody, start some fires. Break some glass. Give Graham some love. Goodbye.